If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7. We'll get there in just a little bit. But I want to speak to our graduates, but also to all of us, because this never stops. The name of the title of the message is Choice, Not Chance. And so we're obviously going to be talking about the choices of life, and those things never end. I don't care how young we are or how old we are, we continually have to make choices in life, decisions that must be made. One of my devotionals, the Daily Devotions for Men, writes this. He says, from the instant you wake up in the morning until the moment you nod off to sleep at night, you make lots of decisions. Decisions about the things you do, decisions about the words you speak, and decisions about the thoughts that you choose to think. Now, think about that for a moment. Your thoughts are something that you choose to think about. You can choose to stop thinking in a certain vein, or you can choose to continue thinking down that train and vein of thought. So thoughts are a choice as well. Simply put, your life is a series of choices, and the quality of those choices determines the quality of your life. Choices are so important. We know the most important choice that any of us will ever make is our choice to follow Jesus as our Savior. That's the most important one. John Maxwell adds this. He says, who we are today is the result of choices that we made yesterday. Tomorrow, we will become what we choose today. Choices are so very important. The Daily Walk adds this. A life of faith and obedience is fashioned from the building blocks of daily decisions, daily choices. And so, as we've said so many times, choice, not chance, determines your destiny. It's so important. So I want us to ask God for wisdom and strength to make each choice of life in the light of eternity. Don't just choose for the moment. Don't just choose for what is temporal and what is right now, but think about the future as you make choices. Again, the old adage, don't be an idiot, right? Just make choices that will show that you are not an idiot. The relationships of our lives are some of the most critical choices that we'll ever make. So important. The Daily Walk writes again, no matter how many good apples you pack around a rotten one, you can't make the rotten apple good, but you can ruin an awful lot of good apples by doing that, by mixing them together. But the same is true in the relationships that people have with each other. One corrupting friendship is enough to drive a person away from God. That's why I gave the caution a while ago for students that are going to be leaving home and going to college. One corrupting friendship is enough to drive a person away from God, even in the presence of countless righteous lives, provided that that friendship, that corrupting friendship, is close enough and lasts long enough to exert its corrupting influence in your life. One person can do that. Just as one bad apple can ruin the bunch, so one corrupting influence, relationship in your life, can pay that price, make you pay that price. So that's why your close friends will mark you for life. Your close friends will mark you for life. And that's also why your choice of a life mate is critically important. So important, who you choose to marry. That is the second most important choice that you will ever make in your life, is who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. God states very clearly in His Word, don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. The caution is there. The Word is there to us from the Lord. Don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. So I'm saying that you should not even date an unbeliever, much less think about marrying an unbeliever. Amen? Amen? You don't even need to date an unbeliever, much less think about marrying an unbeliever. You'll be unequally yoked. It's why from the Old Testament on that the Lord warned His people not to marry someone who had and served a God different from your God. It's just not supposed to happen. He said, if you marry someone that's serving a God other than the Lord Jesus, he said, they're going to draw your heart away from Jesus towards their God. They will corrupt you. They will influence you. And so it's so important that we don't do that. So again, close friends, mark you for life. Your choice of a life mate is the second most important choice you'll ever make. And so then the question also is from the Word, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? If that person is not serving the Lord, you're the righteous one if you are serving the Lord, and they're the wicked one because they're not. And so why would you do that? What do righteousness and unrighteousness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Jesus is always the light, and he'll always draw you to the light of his word and the light of life. And so we need to get away from the darkness of the world, and we have the light of light within us because of Jesus. So examine your relationships, all of us, young people and older as well. If you're courting disaster, make the necessary changes now before the rotten apple becomes you. Amen. Lord, help us to make wise choices in our relationships. And then sometimes, this might sound crazy, but sometimes the right enemies can do you more good than the wrong friends. Think about that. The right enemies can bless you more than the wrong friends. Now, to change tracks a little bit, going a different direction a little bit here, hearing without heeding is folly. If we know what the Word says, we know what God's wanting us to do, and if we don't heed what he's saying, then that's going to lead to folly. And nowhere is this more critical than in the moral choices of life. And you, guys, you are graduating from high school. You're about to go out into more of a real-world experience at a college campus. Some of you are going to very large colleges, some maybe a little smaller. But you're going to experience things that you've never experienced before. You're going to be exposed to things in our culture that maybe you've never been exposed to before. You're going to have temptations thrown your way, as I mentioned earlier, that maybe you've never had before. And it's going to be harder and harder to say no, but yet you've got to stand up and say no. You've got to go against the grain of culture and be willing to stand up and make choices that will honor the Lord, that will honor your family, and that will honor you and be true to yourself as well. So hearing without heeding is folly, and nowhere is that more critical than in the moral choices of life. And in our culture today, morality and moral choices are going down the tubes as we see all across our nation and around the world in so many different ways. Whether it's illicit heterosexual sex or whether it's homosexual sex, God frowns upon any type of sexual morality. And we're going to deal with that quite a bit here this morning. A life of worldly pleasure is a life in appearance only. It's just a show. It's not anything that's deep or real or lasting. It's only a show. Fidelity, not immorality, is the path of true happiness. I want to say that again. Fidelity, not immorality, is the path of true happiness. The Daily Walk writes again, the path that leads to immorality is a slippery one indeed. Flattering lips, deceitful invitations, alluring pleasures, they all lead to one inescapable end, destruction. If you go to a larger university and even smaller ones, you're going to be asked to pledge to this group, to that group, some fraternity, some sorority. And you've got to know going in that though those things may have some value in the present and in the future, maybe vocation-wise and connections and networking, yet it's a slippery path to a lot of immoral things that go on in the frat houses and sorority houses. And so you need to be aware of the den of iniquity that you may be getting involved in. And so it's really important that you guard yourself. You're going to be invited to parties where a lot of alcohol is there, and you're going to be invited to parties where guys are going to try to get the young ladies drunk, and you hear of date rape increasing all across our college campuses. These things are realities of college life, and you need to be aware of what you're getting into before you take that slippery slide into that pit of immorality. Flattering lips, deceitful invitations, alluring pleasures. There's only one end to all that, and that's destruction, the destruction of your soul. Solomon's wise advice to his son is the same advice he received from his father David. It's unfortunate that neither David nor Solomon heeded their own advice at times in their lives. Amen? David and Solomon both messed up because of immorality in their lives. And here's the key about falling prey to some type of immorality. It's the price that you have to pay. You know, payday comes someday. With sin, you're always, there's a price to be paid, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. It's so important that we guard ourselves. And so David's advice and Solomon's advice is don't watch your feet, but watch your heart. Don't worry about the slippery path with your feet. Worry about it with your heart, with your mind, your thoughts. Because before an action is an action, it has to be a thought. So before you take a step towards immorality in any way, it's a thought before you do it. So just don't do it. Do the opposite of the Nike slogan. Don't do it. Amen? Don't do it. And so we need to really be careful there, because that's where sin's temptation begins, is right between your ears. It's in your mind. It's in your thoughts. So guard your thoughts and make wise choices. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says this, "How can a young man or woman keep their way pure? By living according to your word." Guys, when you make your choices, go to the word. Does the word say this is okay? Does the word say it's not okay? There's your answer, bottom line. And if you don't see it explicitly stated in the word, go to someone that you know and trust that's maybe a little more mature in the Lord than you are and ask their opinion. We're going to talk about that as well, because in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and there's safety. And so he says further, "I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Guys, know what the word says. Hide his word in your heart, and it's going to keep you from the slippery slope of sin. Proverbs 6, "My son, keep your father's commands. Don't forsake your mother's teaching." Several of you mentioned about family being the most important, if not all of you mentioned family, the most important thing, the most important influence in your lives. Remember that. Remember the God of your mom and your dad and your grandparents. Remember their God and let their God become your God if he hasn't already. Bind those things, he says, upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck, the teachings of mom and dad. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they're going to watch over you. When you awake, those words will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp, and this teaching is a light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life. Don't ever despise the discipline from mom or dad and also from the Lord. Don't despise the discipline that's been brought to your lives. There's three aspects of immorality I want to share with you quickly. First of all, it's pain, it's price, and it's subtle plan. Let's take a look at that quickly this morning. First of all, we begin with the pain of immorality from Proverbs 6. Verses 27 through 29. "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." And so we see, just like in the natural, If fire is put upon you, it'll burn your clothes. If you walk on hot coals, your feet are going to be blistered and scorched. So if you fall into this type of immorality, he said, you will not go unpunished. There will be a price that will be paid if you follow the path that leads to some type of immorality. So there is a price. That's the second thing. It's found in Proverbs 6, verses 32 and 33. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. It's so important we see this is the price that's paid if you fall into some type of immorality. It destroys your very life. Your life will forever be changed. It will never be the same. You have lost respect. You've lost your reputation. So many things, blows, disgrace, are going to be your lot in life. The shame of it is never going to go away. It's always going to be there. And the enemy of your soul, the one that led you into the sin, will throw that sin back up in your face the rest of your life if you let him. It's a tough road to hoe when you fall into this type of sin. And then finally, the subtle plan. I'm not going to take the time to go through all the scriptures this morning, but Proverbs chapter 7, verses 7 through 27, you can read those on your own. So, Alan, we're going to probably scroll through some of this. But it gives the plan, the subtle plan. It's not your plan. It's the devil's plan, and he uses someone to come at you with it. If you're a young lady, it's going to be some handsome dude that's going to come in to try to sweep you off your feet. If you're a young man, it's going to be some hot chick that the devil's going to put in front of your eyes that to make you want to fall prey to her allure or to his allure if you're a woman. And so it's so important that you don't fall for this subtle plan that the enemy is going to put in front of you at some point in your life. And we've got to be wise enough and we've got to be discerning enough to say no, to say no. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you're raising your family, but me and my family, we're serving God. We're going to serve God. We're going to make heaven our home. All of us are going to be in heaven together because we're not going to fall prey to the subtle plan that the enemy plants in front of our eyes. Again, we've got to guard those eyes. We've got to guard what we look at. Verses 7 through 27, read it on your own. It's the plan of the adulteress, and she's coming against the young man. I want to read one verse at the beginning here, verse 7. It's about the warning against the adulteress or the prostitute. In verse 7 says, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. You know, when you're 17, 18 years old, you've got all the answers. If you don't believe that, just ask any one of these four kids this morning. They got it down. They know. Because I was like that. You were like that, you know. We thought we knew it all when we were graduating high school, right? Man, you ask a question, oh, I got the answer. Yeah, no doubt about it, you know. And so we're just so full of pride and so full of energy and so full of, man, we're going to go out, we're going to conquer the world, we're going to whatever. And yet Solomon brings it down home. He says, you know what? I saw among the simple. Simple can also mean foolish. And the word fool, normally in Proverbs especially, denotes a person with no moral character, a moral deficiency, if you will. And so he says, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. It's so important that young people realize, even scientifically, for those of you that are pursuing science, the human brain is not fully formed until age 30. So don't forget that. You don't have a full brain yet. So guard yourself. You lack judgment. You lack judgment still. One day when you hit 30, hopefully that brain will, boom, it'll be fully formed by then. But you don't have it yet. There's a lack of judgment. And the enemy knows that. So he's going to try to put stuff in your way that sounds good, looks good, tastes good, feels good, and you've got to be willing to say no to that kind of good. Does that make sense? You got to be willing to say no to some of that stuff so that you can walk the walk that God wants you to walk and not walk the walk that somebody else is trying to get you to walk. So it's really important. And then it goes on and tells the story of her plan, the subtle plan of the adulteress that tries to sweep him off of his feet, alluring all the different things. It says in verse 11, she's loud, she's crafty, she's defiant, she never stays at home, now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. Let me tell you something, in life, around every corner, the enemy's going to be lurking, trying to get you off track, off base, lead you down the wrong path. But the Bible says you're going to hear a voice within you that says, no, this is the way, walk in it, amen? Listen for that still, small voice. Don't let the noise of culture trap you and trick you into doing something you know you're not supposed to do. Listen for that still, small voice that says, no, don't you stray this way or that way. You stick to the middle of the road. You know what? When you're learning how to drive, if you stick to the middle of the road, you're not going to go in the ditch. Amen? If you don't want to wind up in the ditch of sin, stick to the middle of the road. Just drive down the middle. Amen? It'll always be safe. Let's go a little further. Read that on your own. Duncan Banks, one of my favorite English writers, says this, when God created sex, hey, did you know God created that? It wasn't the devil that came up with that, but the devil took it and twisted it like he always does. Anything that God creates is good, but the devil takes it and twists it. God created sex. He intended sex for pleasure, for procreation, all that, but the devil has twisted it. So Duncan Banks says, when God created sex, he knew how powerful and yet how destructive it can be. So he created a strong container to put it in. You know what that container is? God called it marriage. That's the container. The only rule that God has for us to have sex together is it's got to be within marriage. That's the deal. A place where two people leave their parents and they cleave in commitment to each other in the ceremony of marriage. There's the deal. That's the only rule. Hebrews 13:4 says this, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Now, our culture says, you can live together. Our culture says it's okay to have sex, to fornicate before marriage. It's okay to be homosexual. Our culture is saying all that stuff is okay. It's good. But it's not. The Word says it's not. It's a danger to you. It's gonna ultimately harm you. It's going to hurt you. All kinds of reasons. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. God is going to judge not only the adulterer, but all of the sexually immoral. It's almost like that sin, because it's a sin against your own body, God says, that's one of the dumbest sins that you can commit, you know? It's one of the dumbest things that you can do, because you're hurting yourself. And what you're also doing, if you say you're a Christian, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. And it's a slap in the face of God. Bryant Wright adds this, any sex that is outside the context of committed love and marriage is always less than the best. It can bring emotional harm, broken relationships, turmoil, and guilt. Now, that kind of stuff, that kind of sex may sell movies, he writes, and books, but in the end, it can destroy and will destroy a person's life. God intended sexual intimacy to be his great gift for marriage and for marriage alone. That's God's intent for sex. And our world has taken that and just driven it to the nth degree and in so many different directions, homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, AC/DC. I mean, you know, it don't matter. That's what our world says. It's okay. Anything's all right. You're good to go. Well, no, you're not. No, you're not. And we need to understand that as Christians. Daily devotions for men. I want to summarize this whole thing, bring it down to this. If you're facing one of life's major decisions, I want to give you some steps, some things you can do to make wise choices. Choice, not chance, is going to determine your destiny. First of all, whatever it is you're trying to make a choice about or a decision about, gather as much information as you can. You know, research it. Just like if you got a pain, you know, and you get online and you start researching what could that pain be or whatever, man, just research your decision to death. Just research. Get as much information as you can before you decide. Second, don't be too impulsive. I'd put it this way, don't ever listen to the voice of haste. Don't ever listen to the voice of haste. When you, you're out of high school, you're going to be maybe buying stuff on your own now. You know, there'll come a time when you're going to maybe buy your own car, and that car salesman says, this deal, it's only good for today. You know, it's good right now. And if you don't sign now, this deal's going to go away. That's a lie. You know, don't listen to that voice of haste. He's trying to push you into something that's good for him, but probably bad for you. So we need to wise up. Don't be too impulsive. Don't ever listen to the voice of haste. Give yourself time to think it through. Sleep on it, okay? And then third, rely on the advice of trusted friends and mentors. Again, I'll quote what I said earlier. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and there's safety. Don't just decide on your own. Not only don't let it be a quick decision, but don't you just make the decision by yourself. Seek advice. Seek wise counsel. Go to your mom and dad. Go to your grandparents. Go to whoever it is you trust. Go to someone older in the Lord than you, that served God longer than you. People that you see God's blessing on their life. You know that the fruit of the Spirit is in them. There's love. She mentioned her love exuding from her grandmother. There's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, self-control in those people's lives. Look for people like that to get advice from. Amen? That's the kind of people you need to get advice from. Fourth, pray for guidance. Just go before the Lord. Just lay it out. King Hezekiah, when the Assyrian army was coming in, and the king of Assyria had written a letter about all the stuff he was fixing to do to Israel, destroyed them, blah, 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 you know. And Hezekiah took the letter, and he spread it out before the Lord, and he says, here, Lord, read it for yourself. Now, what are you going to do about it? What do you say? What do you say? This is what the king of Assyria says, but what do you say? Here it is. What are you going to do? And 185,000 Assyrians were killed overnight by God. The death angel went through their camp, the king left, never even entered the gates of Jerusalem. And that's what God said would happen. It's so important, so important. And then the final thing, trust the quiet inner voice of your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He's the one that says, this is the way, walk in it. Listen for that still, small voice, the voice of the Spirit. And how do you know that voice? You learn it over time by spending time with God in prayer, by spending time in His Word. And you begin to hear the gentle voice of the Spirit in your head. It's not going to be an audible voice, you know. It's going to be just something inside that you know, that you know, that you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. And when you make the decision, there's two things that should accompany every godly decision. The Word says you're going forth, once you make that decision, you're going forth should be with joy, and you should be led forth with peace. When you make a decision and you don't have a joy and you don't have peace, you just wait. You don't do it. You just wait. You give God time to act. You give God time to line up the circumstances with His provision at some point in the future. And God's either saying, that's what I'm going to do in the future, or He's saying, okay, I'll do it now, or He's saying, that's not my plan for you at all. So you need to seek me a little bit more, and I'll tell you what I really want with your life. So we need to do that. Listen to that inner voice. Everyday living is an exercise in decision making. Choices, always, every day. Today and every day, you must make choices. Choices about what you're going to do, choices about what or who you're going to worship, and how you're going to think. And when in doubt, make choices that you sincerely believe are going to bring you to a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's how you want the end game to be. Is this going to draw me closer to Jesus or further from Him? And the choice will be very clear. You only want what's going to take you closer to Jesus. You don't want anything that's going to drive you from Him. So remember, guys, young and old alike today, myself included, choice, not chance, is going to determine the destiny of your life.